This is DW News live from Berlin. Tonight, the murder trial that the world is watching and the verdict that the world is waiting for. Lawyers delivered their closing arguments today to the jury that will soon decide, is former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin guilty or not guilty of killing George Floyd? Also coming up tonight, Germany's Green Party makes its first ever bid for chancellor, naming Annalena Baerbock as their candidate to take the reins from Angela Merkel. Can she lead her party to victory in the elections in September? I'm Brent Goff. It's good to have you with us. We begin in the U.S. state of Minnesota with the closing arguments in the trial of a former police officer charged with killing George Floyd. Today, the prosecution and the defense wrapped up their cases, and now the jury will have to decide whether Derek Chauvin is guilty of second-degree murder. People across the country are bracing for the verdict and the protests that are sure to follow if he is acquitted.
Members of the jury, I instruct you as follows. Guilty or not guilty? That's the question 12 men and women will have to answer while the country waits. The defendant, Derek Chauvin, was fired from the Minneapolis Police Department last year after George Floyd died in his custody. A video of the incident shows Chauvin holding Floyd face down with his knee for more than 9 minutes. It sparked nationwide protests against police brutality.
I can't breathe.
In resting its case, the prosecution tried to persuade the jury that this was not about condemning all police, but holding Chauvin responsible for his actions.
And only you have the power to convict the defendant of these crimes. And in so doing, declare that this use of force was unreasonable. It was excessive. It was grossly disproportionate. It is not an excuse for the shocking abuse that you saw with your own eyes. And you can believe your own eyes.
As the defense made its closing arguments, Chauvin, who had declined to testify, removed the mask that had been hiding his face for most of the trial.
Officer Chauvin had no intent to purposefully use, or he did not purposefully use, unlawful force. These are officers doing their job in a highly stressful situation.
George Floyd's death rekindled a debate in the U.S. about police tactics that rights activists say disproportionately impact Black, minority, and poor communities. As the trial came to a close, activists gathered outside the courtroom.
Keep the fight going. Whatever way this verdict goes, we won't stop till the laws change.
Protesters are awaiting the verdict in Minneapolis and the surrounding area, where over 3,000 National Guard have been sent in anticipation of unrest.
And for more, we want to go to DW's Stefan Simons. He's standing by for us at the courthouse in Minneapolis. He's been on this story from the very beginning. Good evening to you, Stefan. So talk to me a little bit about what's going on where you are, and then talk to me about the thrust of these closing arguments.
Yeah, okay. So just before we got online with you now, here was a big press conference here with Reverend Al Sharpton, representatives of the Chauvin family, and a bunch of their lawyers. They have several lawyers. And, you know, world press is here, local press is here, national press is here. It's really a lot of interest from around the world, of course, and of course in the United States on what's going on here today, because this is a very, very important day. This was closing argument day. And now the next step is, of course, sending the jurors, 12 jurors, into deliberations. They will be sequestered. They will be isolated. They will be having their hands on all the evidence which was presented during the trial, all the transcript, all of this, but they are on their own, and they have to make a decision, guilty or not guilty. And it takes only one juror to disagree with all the others on any count, on any charge, and then this is going to be a very, very tricky outcome. However, today, the prosecution, again, there was disproportionate violence or brutality or action from Derek Chauvin against George Floyd. And that caused, and that is important for the prosecution, caused the death of Mr. Floyd. Now, the defense, of course, this is entirely different. They say that Mr. Chauvin was a reasonable officer and that he acted in reason. Now, reasonable officer, acting in reason, and reasonable doubt. You see, this all works together, and the defense plays on this. They want to make this connection there. They did. Now it's going to be after the jury becomes directions, another advice from the judge, from Mr. Cahill. Mm-hmm. They will go into deliberations, and then we'll have to wait.
Do we have any idea, Stefan, of when we could get a verdict?
Yeah, that would be guessing. I wouldn't really be able to tell you firmly, it's tomorrow, it's done. No, there is no way of telling, actually. There is people who say, like, look, the faster this is over, the faster the jury comes to a conclusion, all agree, probably the better for the prosecution. The longer it will take, that should be, that's same people say that, that should be an indicator for trouble in the juror pool, meaning that there's disagreement, that they need to really find a way to convince one or more jurors of the general thrust they're going with. So that would be beneficial for the defense. It could be tomorrow, the day after that, or it could take days and weeks even.
And we know, Stefan, that the world is waiting for this verdict because the outcome could set off what we have to say is a powder keg. I mean, you're standing right in the middle of it, aren't you?
Oh, you're absolutely right. There is no doubt this city here, this state, I would think it's fair to say the entire United States and all the metropolitan areas in the United States, L.A., New York, Washington, D.C., Atlanta, what have you, they're all on edge. Everybody is on edge. The tensions are here high. You don't see this. You see the fence here behind me and maybe the occasional National Guard soldier there on top of the Hennepin County Government Center. But all those security forces and safety authorities basically are prepared for the worst. And everybody is fearing the worst here, everywhere, not just here, all over the United States. Nobody wants violence because the verdict is not what people here expect. People here expect a guilty verdict, and anything but that is for them unacceptable.
All right, DW's Stefan Simons there on top of that powder keg there in Minneapolis. Stefan, thank you. All right, here's a look now at some of the other stories that are making headlines around the world. Russia's prison service says it is transferring opposition leader Alexei Navalny to a medical facility. Navalny's doctors say that he is on the brink of dying 3 weeks into a hunger strike. The United States and the European Union have warned of consequences if he dies in prison. The Kremlin says Navalny's health should not interest the West. It is the end of the six-decade-long Castro era. Cuba's Communist Party has chosen Miguel Díaz-Canel as its new leader. He replaces Raúl Castro, who succeeded his brother Fidel. Despite not being part of the family dynasty, President Díaz-Canel is not expected to move Cuba away from a one-party socialist system. Human Rights Watch says Beijing's arbitrary detention of up to a million people could be tantamount to crimes against humanity under international law. The NGO was calling on the United Nations to investigate events in China's Xinjiang region, home to the country's Uyghur Muslim minority. All right, now to the politics story here in Germany with the Green. A little bit more with the teleprompter, please. Thank you. Party staking its claim to lead Europe's biggest economy. For the first time ever, the Greens have announced a chancellor candidate. Her name is Annalena Baerbock, and she aims to succeed Angela Merkel if the Greens win September's elections. And the numbers are looking good. Opinion polls place them second only by a small margin to Merkel's conservatives.
With two party leaders, one needed to step aside. And Robert Habeck did so, making Annalena Baerbock the first Green chancellor candidate ever. In her first speech, she promised a renewal in German politics and a departure from the status quo. We must make changes to create a fair country, a country where daycare centers and schools are truly the best places to be, a country where caregivers genuinely have the time and, above all, the resources to care for people. a country in which the state functions digitally and serves its citizens, a diverse and cosmopolitan country, a values-based and strong democracy. The 40-year-old became politically active within the Green Party in 2008, focusing on foreign and security issues. Only 5 years later, she entered the Bundestag, the German parliament, at the age of 32. There, she quickly earned respect for her thoroughness and knowledge of detail. She has a degree in international law and spent several years abroad in the US, London and Brussels. She now lives in Potsdam with her husband and their two young daughters. The carefully choreographed announcement came in sharp contrast to the bruising power struggle still going on within Germany's Conservative Party. Both contenders there were quick to react to Baerbock's candidacy. I congratulate Annalena Baerbock, and I can promise her that the CDU in Germany is looking forward to a fair election campaign.
Sich auf einen fairen Wahlkampf freut.
Es wird genau den Platz 1 gehen.
It will be about the first place, Conservatives or Greens. Hopefully it will be a fair, good and argumentative, but also ambitious election campaign. I would be very happy to be a part of it, but we are not there yet. While the Conservatives are still squabbling internally, Annalena Baerbock is already focusing on the general election in September and on becoming Angela Merkel's successor.
Well, now to a massive shakeup in European football. 12 top clubs from Spain, Italy and England have announced the formation of a breakaway Super League. The new midweek competition will be independent of European football's governing body, UEFA. But Germany's top clubs, Bayern Munich and Borussia Dortmund, they will not be joining. Dortmund have released a statement saying they and Bayern reject the Super League, preferring instead to reform the existing Champions League.
The jewel in UEFA's crown, its biggest money spinner. But the Champions League is now under threat from a breakaway Super League. A league of Europe's top clubs that had been discussed semi-secretly for a while, but the plans have never been as advanced as this. Billions of euros, financially backed by the US investment bank JP Morgan.
If there is interest by these kind of players, by these financial institutions, it means there is a potential for a bright future.
UEFA, the governing body of European football, has reacted with fury. One top member says he thinks three of the four clubs in the Champions League semifinals next week will be banned for their roles in the Super League. Jesper Müller referred to Chelsea, Manchester City, and Real Madrid, saying the clubs must go and I expect that to happen Friday. Then we have to find out how to finish this Champions League tournament.
UEFA and the footballing world stand united against the disgraceful, self-serving proposal we have seen in the last 24 hours from a select few clubs in Europe.
Outside of Anfield Stadium, Super League club Liverpool's own fans showed their disdain for the Super League, which their heroes are now part of. A sentiment shared by fans of Super League clubs elsewhere in Europe.
The beauty of the European football is about its diversity, and what we're seeing now is the concentration of wealth, power, and the top of the game in the hands of a few clubs.
UEFA won't want to give up on its cash cow, the Champions League, without a fight. But the Super League is digging in, and both sides are reportedly ready to launch legal action.
NASA says its Mars exploration helicopter, the Ingenuity, has successfully flown on the red planet to the delight of mission control back here on Earth. Flight controllers in California confirmed Ingenuity's brief hop after receiving confirmation data via the Perseverance rover, which stood watch about 65 meters away. The $85 million helicopter demonstration was considered high risk, yet high reward. All right, here's a reminder of the top story that we're following for you. The trial of the white police officer accused of killing George Floyd is wrapping up in the United States. The prosecution and the defense have made their closing arguments. The jury will be sequestered as they decide whether Derek Chauvin committed homicide. Mr. Floyd, a 46-year-old black man, died while being restrained during his arrest last May. It sparked global protests. You're watching DW News. Rob Watts is up next with DW Business News. Stick around. He will be right back.